All right, good morning, everybody. So, I'm excited to share today, and I'm semi-apprehensive to share today. But this is truly what I feel the Lord has told me to speak about and what I should speak about. So there's a question that comes up every 2 years around election time. And I want to give you my heart about it, what I think about it. I've talked with Pastor Jonah about it, but I want to go into it so you know where I stand. I want you to know where I stand, and I don't apologize for offending you because this is where I stand, and this is what the Lord has revealed to me, and this is the way I'm going, because typically when I do what the Lord tells me to do, things work out.
Bring it on.
Yes. So, like I said, every 2 years this comes up. It doesn't matter if I'm not scolding anybody. Ask me questions, by all means. Let's talk things out. Let's get things figured out. It's not just here. It's everywhere in the Christian body. It's why don't we talk about politics over the election cycles? And no, it's not because of a 501c3. It's just not. I can tell you that right now. It's because nothing in my heart tells me to come up here and use a Sunday to teach you about the politics of the world. It's never happened. I don't believe it ever will. The Spirit has never said, okay, tell them who your picks are. Because I don't, for one, believe that's my role. And for two, you should know who your picks are. Every one of us in here that's 18 years or older should be informed, inform yourself, and know who you're voting for. Now, does that mean I'm not going to teach you out of the Word what the Word says about issues of the day? Absolutely not, because that's what we're going to do today. But I need you to know that I'm not going to use this pulpit to endorse candidates. Not. And unless the Lord leads me otherwise, that's just what's in my heart right now. And it's not because I dislike you. It's not because I'm mad at anybody. It's because that's what the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to do. So with that said, I want to start. Of course, there's always lots of scriptures. Now, don't take offense. I know that was a rough start. It's a rough start, but we're going to get to the good stuff. We're going to get to the meat, but you need to know, if I'm going to be a pastor at this church, you need to know where I stand. You need to. And as a family and as a body, it's healthy. I don't want you to be in the dark about where I stand and what I believe. That's wrong. That's wrong. And like I said, I'm not scolding. I'm just telling you what's on my heart. I'm telling you what the Lord has told me to say and told me to do. So, you don't have to turn here. We're just going to go through a couple of scriptures. But 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. It's to correct us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. All scripture is beneficial. All of it. And all scripture is beneficial in every aspect of our life, including politics. And it doesn't matter. Politics, you know, that's just a hot button topic right now. But it doesn't matter what portion of life you're going through, it should be the Spirit of God that's leading you through it. Now, do I want to be influential? Yes. Do I want to teach you what the Word of God says? Yes. That is my heart, but I make mistakes. I don't intend to make mistakes. I don't intentionally intend you to lead you down the wrong way, but I can. Now, I'm guarding my heart, and I'm informing myself the best I can to not do that. But you need to judge what I say. I don't care what minister it is. You need to compare what I say to the Word of God and test it. Does it pass what the Word of God says? And I believe that as we go through this, we can find what the Word of God says about anything we need. Anything. Because when it comes to elections and politics and things of that nature, it has to deal with the heart. What's inside here comes out here. What's inside here causes me to speak and act in a certain way. So if I don't have the Word of God in me, how can I expect to be led by the Word of God? If I'm not saved and I don't have a relationship with Christ, how can I, as a Christian, hold you to a certain level of expectation? You don't have what I have. You don't know who I know. And then, as a Christian, do I shut you out because you don't believe the way I believe? Do I bash on you for believing the way you believe? Or do I go to God and say, help me reach them? Help me reach them through your truth. Because if we can change people's hearts, what do you think's going to happen? When we can change people's minds towards Christ, towards the Word of God, morality and all these other things naturally begin to shift. I can't force anybody to do anything that's beneficial. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit, because what I say needs to be revealed to you in your spirit. What the Holy Spirit says needs to be revealed in your heart, because that's what can change your heart, and that's what can draw you to truth. It's about truth. I will not compromise the truth of the Word. I can guarantee you that. I will not. But there's a way to share that truth where people can receive it. Now, I know not everybody will receive it. I know. But we're far less likely to get people to receive it if when I'm speaking to these people, I'm ticked. They can just tell I can't stand them, but I'm saying it because the Lord told me to say it. My attitude just shut that door now. So there's balance here. We got to find this balance. And so balance is found in the Word. That's where it is. Balance is found in the Word. And so go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 10. We'll be spending, I think, almost the rest of the time here. But Jeremiah 10. So this is where, you know, Jeremiah is the prophet. He's prophesying to Israel what's to come. You know, the Lord is still begging them to come back. Turn, turn, turn. Come back to me. Turn from your evil ways. Come back to me. And he has a really interesting conversation with Jeremiah here. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because I like it. But it says, hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, starting in verse 1. Thank you. And then we'll just go how far we go. Jeremiah 10, 1. It says, hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O Israel. This is what the Lord says. So this is a big deal, because the Lord's saying it. But it's just like every other word of Scripture. It's a big deal because the Lord said it. Right? But we have to hear. We have to open our hearts. We have to open our spirits to hear what He has for us. Right? So this is what the Lord says. Do not act like other nations. Right off the get-go. Do not act like other nations. Stop trying to be someone you are not. What kingdom are we a part of? We are a part of Jesus' kingdom. Bottom line. Yes, I'm here, and yes, I want to have influence here. But bottom line, I am a part of His kingdom. His kingdom. The Lord's telling me right here, stop trying to act like other nations. Because what did Israel do? They turned to every other god, every other practice, every other weird thing that all these other nations did. And it didn't take long. It didn't take long. Do not act like other nations who try and read their futures in the stars. Why do we have to read the stars when we know the person who created the stars? Why do we have to go down that route? I know the creator of all. I have a relationship with the creator of all. You know, why do I need to seek the creation instead of the creator? Why am I going to things instead of the Lord God Almighty? And this is for anything in our life. Why am I putting views and opinions above His word? Why do we look anywhere else but God? All too often, God is the last resort. I don't know why that is. I get it if you don't know the Lord. And I did it. But why is God the last resort? Oh, Lord, I tried everything else. I guess I'll come to you. Why isn't He the first option? Lord, I really messed up, help. Right? I mean, why? It's this mindset of I can do everything on my own. I can figure this out. I got this. No, you don't. You just don't. And when we finally accepted that, man, it's amazing. The revelations that can come, the truth that can come, the help that is provided. If His help is not wanted, what do you want Him to do? He works in us and through us. In us and through us. Do not be, I think we're still in verse 2, do not be afraid of their predictions, even though other nations are terrified by them. So, climate change, global pandemics, global shortages, overpopulation, overspending. Is that supposed to rattle us to the point where we cower in fear? Are these terms and ideas supposed to just break us down and, well, Lord, I don't think You can do anything about this one. Now, in every one of these situations, I believe, I didn't do every one because I only have so much time, but you can find something about each one of these in the Word, and the Word can lead you and direct you to understanding about what this is and how you should approach it. Climate change. Do I believe we need to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I also don't believe this is just going to come to an end before Christ is ready for it to come to an end. Everything was given to us to get to when He comes. It's not just going to fail. Someday it's going to fail. But thank God Jesus will be coming and I don't have to experience that. But you could go down this list. Global pandemics. Well, what did Christ do for us on the cross? Nothing? Right? I'm supposed to be able to pick up serpents and not be harmed. Because the Lord is leading me in a direction to do something. And if a serpent gets in the way, I get to get it out of the way. And it's not going to harm me. Oh boy, vaccines. Yes. So, do I shun somebody because they received a vaccination? Nope, that's stupid. What if the Lord said, I need you to go be a missionary here, and the only way you get into that country is with a vaccination? Lord, I'm not going. My body, my choice. Good luck. Good luck. I'm sorry. Now, this is where dealing with people according to the word and according to love come in. Do you have to agree with the fact that they got it? No, you don't have to. But we love them anyways. We love them when we teach them truth and we pray over them and we say no horrible effects. No, in Jesus' name. Right? Where did our authority disappear because somebody got a shot? No. Stop turning these things into insurmountable mountains. It's the mark of the beast. No, it's not. It's not. No, it's not. Like, we need to move past this stuff and we need to move into the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit in our thinking and in our actions and in the things that we do, because then we'll be effective. I don't want to spend the rest of my life being ineffective because I've offended so many people. Nobody wants to hear a single word I say. It's not what it's about. My opinion doesn't matter. The word matters. What the word says about these people matter. And God loves them. God wants them. He wants them to spend eternity with them. So am I going to turn them away because I disagreed with them for getting a shot? I sure hope not. If that's the case, we really need to re-examine our hearts, re-examine our minds, and get back into the Word. Their ways, verse 3, their ways are futile and foolish. This is God Almighty speaking right now. Right now. Their ways are futile and foolish. So why would we venture down that road? We have something bigger, better, stronger in every way possible, in every way imaginable. Why do we take what the world has as gospel and ignore our own? Why do we put such emphasis on what's this so-called great person or this so-called powerful person has to say and has to do, but we don't verify it, we don't check it against the Word of God? Once again, I'm guilty of all of this. I love it when he gives me these because I just, I got to change that too, I guess. But with the Lord, change is good. With the Lord, change is growth. When I read this stuff and when I meditate on this stuff, I can see where I need to grow so I can get where I need to go, right? I can't go where I need to go if I'm still unable to get there. But he provides all this. So their ways are futile and foolish. They cut down a tree and a craftsman carves an idol. They decorate it with gold and silver and then fasten it securely with hammers and nails so it won't fall over. I mean, he's making this super simple. This is God Almighty speaking, and he's making this very simple. Stop putting things above me. Stop it. Because there's nothing else that can satisfy. There's nothing else that can change like our God. Nothing. I don't care what you fill it with. This amazing piece of technology in my hand cannot change me for the good. It certainly can change me. It certainly can suck all my time, waste any amount of extra time that I thought I had. Scroll, 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 scroll. Scroll, 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 scroll. Oh, shoot. That was a whole hour of scroll, 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 scroll. Scroll, 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 scroll. Oof. Scroll, scroll. You know, be careful of these things. Lowercase gods right there. I mean, it's all these things in life that distract us and take away what life is truly about. And we can go down a list. I'm sure every one of us has a list. I have a list. I want to make that list smaller. Right? I want more of my attention going to God and instead of everything else that's going on around me. But am I willing to remove some idols in my life? Am I willing to say, you know what? I don't need that. I need you. And as painful as it is for a while to not have that, I'm going to rely on you because I know true change is going to come through you. I know true growth is going to come from you. For me, a big one is sitting around and just doing nothing. Thanks for laughing, honey. There's your verification right there. I'm not lying. It's really easy for me to do that because I get sick of doing things. I get sick of doing meaningless things. I get sick of doing things that I'm just going to have to do again the next day, probably, and the next day. I get sick of things that I'm going to have to change in another year or two because it's just not the right color anymore. I just... But, that's no way to live. And I need to address that. And I've been trying to address that. Because I need to be a good steward of what I have. Because I took on the responsibility. I bought a home. Whether I should have or not, I bought a home. And so now I need to be faithful, a good steward, to keep that home the way it should be. I just, you know, that's what it is. It hasn't overtaken my heart yet, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You know, because things can just overwhelm. Work can overwhelm. Extracurricular activities can overwhelm. And maybe I'm easier overwhelmed than others. But what am I willing to cut out to make time for him? What idol? What thing? What idea? It's not how, like, I don't think for us anymore it's so much things, and yes, there are things that people just have to have, but it's ideals. It's these ideals that we turn into gods. It's these ideals that we worship instead of the one true God. And we can go down these roads that all they do is lead us astray. The heart, there was good intentions at the start, and then by the end, you're just totally lost because it just had nothing to do with God. It had nothing to do with righteousness. It had nothing to do with his goodness. It was just something that I wanted to do, and I thought it was a good idea. like all the trucks that I have at my house. Here we go. Be honest, Jesse. Oh, I had such good ideas and such plans for all these trucks. One's sitting on the side of my house rotting. One's torn to pieces in my garage. And the one I actually care about, I don't have time to work on anyways. Things. Stuff. Their gods are like helpless scarecrows, verse 5. Their gods are like helpless scarecrows in a cucumber field. What is a scarecrow? A scarecrow is meant to deceive. It's a copycat. It's a fake. Because the Lord says they cannot speak and they need to be carried because they cannot walk. These ideals that we create and put above the Word of God are only held there because of our ideas, our thoughts, our actions. It has nothing to do with the Lord. I had a great idea, so I'm going to see this idea through. And sure, maybe I get to the end, but the satisfaction's not there. I probably spent more money than I needed to. I spent more time on it than I needed to, and I don't really have anything else when it's done. But man, it was a good idea. I really thought it was going to be nice at the end. I really thought all that time was going to be worth it. Well, no, because things that are meaningful come through Christ. Things that are meaningful in my life, it's weird, but it's true, come through me following his purpose and plan for my life. It's just the way it works. But what are we putting above? And politics, I'm sorry, is a big one. I had a wake-up call one day because I used to drive, well, I still do almost, but I had a job where I drove 50 minutes there and 50 minutes back. A lot of time in the car. So let's listen to the radio. Why not listen to news talk? I'm interested in that kind of stuff. And so 2 hours a day I'm filling myself with this. And I come home and I'm ticked. I am upset. I am grumpy. I'm not fun to be around. And finally, my beautiful wife says, you need to stop listening to that stuff on your way to work. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through her. Because, wait a minute. Maybe I should stop listening to that on the way to work. Because all it does is tick me off. Is that what my life should be? Is just constantly upset? And man, it was amazing. I started listening to teachings and things of that nature, and I was pleasant to be around most of the time. But we got to stop giving these idols and these ideals in our life so much thought and attention. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Am I telling you to not be informed? No. But overinformation can happen really, really fast these days. And then you're just sucked down this road of just being bombarded with junk. I don't believe that everything in the world is as bad as it says it is right now. I don't believe it. Do I believe that there's bad things going on in the world? Yes. But God hasn't stopped moving. God hasn't stopped working in people. So why would I believe that everything is just as terrible as the news or whoever? I don't care if it's right, left-wing news. It doesn't matter. It's all bad. I had this conversation with a friend the other weekend. Why can't we have a news channel that just tells stuff that's good? And somebody goes up and says, yeah, there actually is a... Another friend says, yeah, there actually is a channel like that. And I asked him, I'm like, well, how many times have you listened to it? And I've never listened to it. What is it about us that will just eat up the negative? Eat it up. I don't know what that is because I'm guilty of it. We'll eat it up. But when somebody has a beautiful story to share, oh, that's great. That's awesome. And then right back to the newsfeed. It's a heart transformation. It's a heart change. I got to get going. So, verse 5, their gods are like helpless scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak and they need to be carried because they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of such gods, for they can neither harm you nor do you any good. This is the Lord God Almighty saying this. Where are we putting our attention? Where are we putting our trust? Is it in what the Word has to say? Are we comparing things to the Word? Or are we just eating it up and eating it up and letting all the negativity and letting all the terrible things that are going on just saturate us? Our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Listening to that stuff will affect every part of you. Spirit, soul, and body. Every part. And once again, sure, be informed, but I can tell you what's going on because of the Word. There's just not good things going on right now. But God. And are we putting our emphasis on the but God or on there's just nothing good going on in the world? So because there's nothing good going on in the world, I'm going to let it affect who I am. I'm going to let it affect those people around me negatively, and everything I do and say is going to look like the negativity that I'm ingesting. It's an easy road to go down. But all this stuff is in the Word. Any question you have about what's happening in life right now, pick a topic and go to the Word about it. Fill yourself up with the Word, because when you fill yourself up with the Word, the Holy Spirit can speak and move. The Holy Spirit can reveal. The Holy Spirit can teach, because you're giving Him something to use. It's hard to use the Fox commentary in a positive way. Newsmax, CBS, NBC, MS, I don't care who it is. It's really hard for the Holy Spirit to work with that. We'll say that. I would suggest that we give that energy and we give that time to filling ourselves with God, to furthering our relationship, to furthering understanding and wisdom in who He is and what He truly is. So over quite a few chapters over in Jeremiah 32, 35. So this is the Lord speaking as well. Jeremiah 32, 35 says, "They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Moloch, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind." Now this is God speaking. "Nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." So there's a few things here. God is not meditating on sin and the sins of the world, because they were sacrificing their children. We sacrifice our children today. In the womb, out of the womb, Montana, the bill they just passed, even if it's born viable, there's still opportunity to kill it. It's happening then, it's happening now. God calls it an abomination. So how can I support that? How can I possibly support that? If I say that God has all this influence in my life, how can I justify support for abortion? How can I do it? Because God calls it an abomination. It's disgusting. God calls it disgusting, and he hates it. That's what abomination is. It's extreme hatred, disgust. Look it up. That's what it means. Now, take this situation. And apply it to others in our lives. So, well, you can't be a Christian if you believe this way. How many people are going to just immediately go to fight? And how many people are you going to affect with that approach to people? As God wants you to affect them. Maybe the right thing to do is just say, you know what? That's not what Scripture says. Maybe the right thing is to do is just plant a seed. You don't have to win the argument. It's not about winning the argument. It's about planting a seed that hopefully and prayerfully over time will begin to affect them and begin to change them. Maybe if they knew what the Scripture said, they would start meditating on it and going, man, in their own time, they're sitting by themselves and saying, the Lord calls it an abomination. What am I doing? And maybe the Lord's working on them. But when I say, you're not a Christian because you don't believe that way, I know what I would say. And it wouldn't be good. And I wouldn't deal with you anymore. I would avoid you because anytime I saw you, I would probably just want to fight you. Is that the relationships we're trying to build and develop in this life? They're not. We have to die to self in this. I get it. Like, it's tough. I get it. But there is a way. There is a way to share truth where you don't shut down everyone. Because what does Philippians 4:8 tell us? Think on good stuff. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Because that's what the Lord does. The Lord wasn't coming up with new ways that people could sin. Man was coming up with new ways for people to sin. And we've taken it so far that he calls it an abomination. That's his view on it. I want my view to be his view because his view is truth. His word is truth. But am I letting his word and truth affect me in that way? So the question is, how does God accomplish his plan and purpose? Is it a magic finger that comes down, touches the ground, and everything changes? Nope. It's his creation. It's his people. He put us here to use us. He put us here to be fruitful and multiply. He put us here to tend and take care of what was given. He uses people. All throughout Scripture, he's used people. And there's examples of both ways, people who received it and accepted it and people who didn't. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh had plenty of opportunities, lots of opportunities, probably more opportunities than he should have had, right? Look at Moses. He didn't start walking in the plan of God until he was 80 years old. But he knew 40 years prior. But he tried to do it his way. Our ways don't work. So I want to read a couple verses here in Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the only true God. He is the living God, the everlasting God. The whole earth trembles at his anger. The nations cannot stand against him. But I don't need to tremble at him. I need to respect him. I need to love him. But I know how much he loves me. So what do I need to be afraid of? Now, because of my covenant, I can go boldly before the throne of God. What do you need? What wisdom are you seeking? What understanding are you seeking? Go after it. Go before the throne of God and ask for help. Stop putting on others what the Lord is asking you to do. Well, if Pastor only did this a little more, then I wish he would talk about this, because I just... Or a friend, a family member, I just wish they would do this, and I just wish they would do that. What's the Lord telling you to do? Do it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what other people's opinion are of you. Do what the Lord is asking you to do. If the Lord is asking you to go talk to your neighbor about the upcoming election, go talk to your neighbor about the upcoming election. Because maybe they're open for something. Maybe they're ready for something. Maybe there's a seed that needs to be planted. If the Lord is asking you to go talk to this friend of yours about abortion, go talk to your friend about it. Because what did he tell Paul? Or what did Paul tell? Sorry, I got that wrong. But the Lord said, you don't need to worry about what you're going to say. Rely on me. Rely on me to put those words in your mouth. We've moved out of plan and purpose into self-interest. It's no longer about what the Lord wants. It's about what I want. And we're pushing it on our kids, and we're destroying our kids. Because God forbid I tell them who they truly are. God forbid I just walk them through this hard time in their life where they're confused, and I say, I'm sorry, you're not a girl, you're a boy. It seems absurd, right? It seems absurd that we would have to go down that road, but that's happening right now. But how can I be effective in these people's lives? I can be effective in these people's lives because the love of God is going to come through me. The love of God is going to show them who they are. They can read the word and say, he made them male and female. You don't have to be confused about who you are, because he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why would we ever destroy that? Out of self-interest. We're moved out of the word into his opinion, or into my own opinion. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, guess what? It's not going to work then. I believe something different. Well, does it line up with the word? You can believe anything you want to, but it doesn't mean it's truth. There have been many hard truths that I've found in the Bible that I have not wanted to apply to my life. But my opinion doesn't matter. We need to stop focusing on the people who aren't doing enough or who we perceive aren't doing enough and just start focusing on what the Lord is leading us to do. This life takes, this Christian walk takes everybody. It's not just a few people who are good at standing up and speaking. I can't accomplish everything for you. You can't accomplish everything for me. There is plan and purpose and will in every one of us. Last verse. Jeremiah 10:23, just down a little bit. It says, I know that our lives are not, and this is Jeremiah speaking, I know that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. There's so much out there that's just so much bigger than any of us. And to try and walk this out without the leading of the Holy Spirit, without Christ, without God the Father, it's just, man, beating your head against a wall. There's so much more. He has so much more for all of us. But are we willing to take that step? Are we willing to do the simple things that he's asking you to do? Because if you're asking for deeper and greater things and you're not doing the simple things, we crawl before we walk. We walk before we run. It's no different in this Christian life. How many people have you seen burn out because they just got ahead of themselves? They should have taken time to grow and mature in the Word, but they went in head first, failed. That's the last we hear of them. So I pray that you got my heart out of this. I pray that you see that it's not what I'm saying, it's what the Lord is saying through me, and it's what the Lord is saying to you. It's what the word, it's putting emphasis on the Word of God in your life in any and all situations. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are so, so good. Even when we miss it, even when we fail, you love us, you want to pick us up, you want to move us forward, Father. And I just thank you that you're opening ears, opening eyes, softening hearts to receive what you have, Father, to receive your love for people so we can go affect people for you and for your kingdom, Father. And I just pray for continued opportunities throughout this week to share your love, to share your goodness. I thank you that you're going to present us time to get into your word. And I pray right now that we choose your word. We choose your word. I thank you that you are good. I thank you that I pray for safety and your peace and your love over this congregation as they go this week. In Jesus' name, amen.